Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from, maybe even the Great Age Reboot.com. Thanks very much for downloading us. And as usual, we have a spectacular guest for you today. Professor Tim Spector is the professor of genetic epidemiology, and he is head of what I consider the most unusual department, Department of Twin Research and Genetic Epidemiology at King's College London. He's also the scientific co-founder of ZOE, Z-O-E, which we're going to find out more about. And as usual, you, the Owner's Manual podcast, I'm your host, Dr. Mike Roizen, and we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. Supplements personalized to you, yes. You get supplements or vitamins personalized to your diet, to your activities, whatever you do. You can take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. That's mypersona.com. Talk to a nutritionist for free. If you don't need anything, they'll tell you. If you're missing something in your diet, they'll tell you that too. That's mypersona.com. So Dr. Spector, I don't know, you probably know that I'm at the Cleveland Clinic, and near here is a place called Twinsburg, which is a model of twins, I would think, since they have this ceremony every year. But this study that you did is very different than that. So Professor Spector is coming to us from the United Kingdom. So we're allowed to have him yawn if he wants to, since it's 5 hours later there than here. So this is a study on why we eat and why some of us overeat consistently. Can you talk to us about the study?
Yeah, sure. It all came about really from studying twins, which I've been doing for the last 25 years of my career. And like the Twinsburg experience, which you know about, most of the early years was about finding why identical twins look so similar. But the last 10 years, really, I've started a focus on why identical twins die of different diseases, one gets cancer, one doesn't, one gets overweight, one stays skinny, one's depressed, one's happy. And obviously they're genetic clones, so it had to be something else in their bodies that was making them different. And they often spent the first 20 years of their life in the same environment. So I thought it was a fantastic opportunity to study other things that might be going on in the body. And it turned out that the gut microbes are the things that are really different between even identical twins. And so that's got my interest in this whole idea of personalizing nutrition based on gut microbes and your personal metabolism. And so that's where we set up this study with ZOE, which took 3 years to do and is just... reached fruition, where we basically gave 1,000 twins identical meals and saw their metabolic responses to those meals in terms of their sugars, their fats, and their gut microbes. And we put all this together, worked out that actually everyone is hugely unique in their response to foods. And we had an eightfold difference between, you know, the sugar levels after everyone eating the same muffin, eightfold differences in the triglycerides 6 hours after eating a meal, and everyone had really unique gut microbes. So we put all this stuff together and got an algorithm, and we're able to predict how people would respond to other foods that weren't in that test meal. And in the last 3 months, we've managed to get a product that has been available in the US since September, called and you can get it on the Join ZOE website, where basically it's a home test kit for your own metabolism that incorporates testing your blood sugar with a glucose monitor, testing your blood fats, and testing your gut microbes. And we think this holistic approach is really telling you really well about how everybody responds differently to foods in a unique way, and then giving them that advice so they can go on and take a a four-week trial by, they're just using these algorithms to just pick the foods that they want that score better than the alternative. So we're trying to keep diversity, not talking about counting calories at all. We're not talking about fat limits. We're not talking about low carb, low fat. We're just keeping a very open mind, agnostic view, and just saying, this is what the data show us. And when people do that, the trials are showing us so far that 80 to 90% of people say they feel more energy, they feel less hungry, and on average, people are losing about 11 pounds without once counting calories or restricting what they eat. So we think this is a new sort of revolution in the way people will be thinking about food, based on the realization that we're all unique.
Now, part of the uniqueness you've said is in the gut microbiome, that is the bacteria inside our gut, which metabolizes all the food we eat, I assume. So let me go back and go for two items. One was, this study showed that those people who had a dip in their blood sugar two or more hours after they ate the food, the bigger the dip, the hungrier they were, and those people ate more calories. So I assume part of this program is to try and eliminate that dip. Is that correct?
Yes. When we first started, we were just looking at peaks, because actually the conventional wisdom was that it was the peak that was more important, that the, you know, you want to avoid the sugar peaks in glucose, which stresses your insulin and long-term leads to pre-diabetes and weight gain. So we were focusing on that. And it was only after we'd done the initial analysis and published that, that we started to look at what was going on between the 2 and 3 hours after a meal. And we found that about 1 in 4 people were regularly having a dip. They dropped below their baseline. And it seems that these people after these meals were reporting greater tiredness, more hunger, and they ate 20% more calories during that day, even eating the identical food of identical calories. So clearly this was yet another layer of complexity on this idea of the uniqueness of food. So it's not just the peaks, but it's also the dips. And many people, well, not many, but some people do feel a bit strange 3 hours after breakfast, and they do feel a dip if they had a carb breakfast. What we didn't know is whether that was associated with extra hunger and eating more. So the idea is, if you can work out who these individuals are, whether you're a sort of person who has regular dips after eating a breakfast muffin or whatever it is, you can switch to something else and of identical calories and would eat less during the day and lose weight. So this is still just the start of this giant experiment, as we get hundreds of thousands of people to do these tests, so we can learn more through these glucose monitors and this other amazing technology that we're discovering. But all of us need to understand more about how our body works for ourselves.
Now, Stan Hazen, who is at the Cleveland Clinic and who believes that inflammation caused by the gut microbiome, by the specific bacteria, that we'll be able to give food, medicine, or some substances that are benign and change the way those gut bacteria produce or metabolize food. Do you think that's a reasonable goal? And is that a goal in other words, how much of the diversity or the dipping or the change in the way we respond to the food is caused by the bacteria in our gut?
A significant proportion. So it has an effect both on the sugar dips, the sugar peaks, the 6-hour triglyceride levels, the fat levels. And we've also shown that it has an effect on the inflammation levels in the blood 6 hours after a fatty meal. So it's all interconnected. And I know Stan's work, and I've chatted about this, and certainly we're just understanding that our microbes are basically these chemical factories that are pumping out all kinds of interesting chemicals and vitamins that we're only just scratching the surface of. And what's really important is to try and feed them right so that these guys will act like pharmaceuticals for us internally so they can suppress the inflammation. And we've just, we published in Nature Medicine a couple of months ago, a paper linking these gut microbes to certain foods and certain health outcomes, including inflammation. And we now know that we can start to give advice on which foods will increase the good microbes and reduce the bad guys. And if you change that balance, then you improve things like inflammation and stress on the body. So that's where, you know, and this data is just the beginning of what we can do once we get more and more of it.
So when we recommend diets without having the knowledge you have from the tests, when we recommend, we say to people, avoid red and processed meat, egg yolks, cheese, simple sugars, added syrups, simple carbohydrates. Are those reasonable starting points, or are there some people who actually should have those foods?
I think some of that list I'd agree with and others I wouldn't. Basically, the key part is quality of the food. So we tell everyone to do things that are good for your gut microbes as the basic rule. So even before we get any data back on the personalized test, we want people to eat well for their gut microbes. Treat it like a garden. And that means getting more variety of plants on your plate, which inevitably means less meats and fish, etc. It's just the variety that's important. We recommend fermented foods, and that can include cheese if it's high quality, you know, not Kraft slices, but good quality foods. And we feel that we know that some people actually tolerate fats pretty well and do better on having cheese on their plate rather than potatoes or rice. So I think that's where the personalization comes in. And we realize that some people can tolerate much more carbs than others. And this test tells us what type of person they are. So I think we can get half the way there with good advice about the microbiome and eating generally in a way that's high quality food, avoiding junk foods, etc. But to get the other half, you need this personalization that tells you how much fats you can eat safely, what sort of peaks different fruits might give you, for example. And, you know, I learned a lot personally myself through this and really changed my diet once I started wearing these glucose monitors and messing around.
Now, Professor, and we're talking with Professor Tim Spector he's a professor of genetic epidemiology at King's College London, and the co-founder of Zoe. So you've mentioned, and I'm going to come back to longevity, which is the topic I love talking about most probably, but before we get there, you've mentioned a personalized test, and can we get that? Is that available now? You implied it might be available now.
It's available in the US for your Europe, and I guess most of your listeners are in the US, and you go to it on the website, join Zoe, I pronounce it Zoe rather than Zoe, .com, and /Tim if you wanna go up the wait list a little bit. So joinzoe.com/Tim, and you can get on the wait list and hopefully get started with your own home testing kit, which, you know, involves the glucose meter, your lipid testing, and your microbiome testing. A fun way to get interested in the whole topic, really, and start experimenting yourself.
And the second point I wanted to, if you could predict, say, 5 years in the future, and I realize that isn't a huge time, and maybe it should be 9 years in the future or 2 years in the future, do you think we will know what bacteria promote longevity or promote a decrease in chronic diseases that would cause disability and shorten our lifespans versus which ones will promote longevity, or what's your thoughts on that?
I think it depends on your ideas of longevity. If you see longevity in the sphere of reducing stress and inflammation on the body and the ability to enhance your immune system, then 100% yes. If you're in 5 years, we won't know the long-term effects of any of these things. We'd have to use these surrogates. But I believe that what we're trying to do here by reducing these stressful sugar peaks, reducing inflammation in the blood, increasing the healthy gut microbes, which like Stan Hazen studying that produce anti-inflammatories, all of these things will help longevity. And so I believe that those aims will be met certainly within 5 years. And we're looking now at some of the aging markers in this data set to try and prove that, so that we can see by measuring telomeres or measuring glycan age, all these markers as well of aging, that we'll see this link between the two. So I think it's all linked together, that if you get the food right, you get your gut microbes right, that triggers the optimum immune system, the repair of your body, anti-inflammatory processes, and you'll have less chronic disease and you'll live longer.
So the website to find out more about what Dr. Spector is working on is joinzoe.com/Tim, and you can get access. It then looks like it goes into a quiz, this should be an interesting and exciting way of working on your long-term health, and for those who want to lose weight, a process of that. But I think obviously this is something that is coming at us because we are learning much more about the microbiome and about how people differ in their reactions to the same food. Let me go and ask you, since you've been working with the twins, in twins that live in the same house, what we've seemed to learn is that at least people who live in the same environment seem to have much the same bacteria in their gut. Is that true, or is that just a misperception that we have?
They are slightly more similar, but barely. So we see that the environment is probably more important than the genes. But, you know, you and I, for example, would still, you know, we would share maybe 25% of our microbes with each other. And if we were sharing the same house, it might be 28% or something like that. So we would have certain microbes in common. That might depend if you have a pet like a dog. All these other factors play a role. But I think what's nice is that it isn't genetically predetermined. So all of us can improve our gut microbes through our own efforts. And I think this is really empowering because, you know, for 25 years, I was working in genetics and saying that, you know, genes are all important, but that's often a rather depressing message. So it's been quite exciting for me to show that, you know, our response to food is not very genetic at all, and that all of us can improve it by improving our general health, our well-being, our exercise levels, and importantly, the quality of our diets. But we need to learn how to adapt that diet to our own metabolism, which is going to vary from all of us, even brothers and sisters and neighbors. And that's why, you know, diets work in some people and not others. It's why keto might work for some and not in other people. Why, you know, this one size fits all approach is so much outdated. So I think we all need to learn how to experiment in our own bodies and to try and understand them more. That's definitely the future of health and nutrition, this whole concept of personalization.
I want to thank you, Dr. Spector. Professor Spector is a professor of genetic epidemiology and head of the Department of Twin Research and Genetic Epidemiology at King's College in London. The website is, and he's been involved in this great study on twins, as you've heard. The website that you can learn more about this is joinzoe, joinzoe.com, and then /Tim. You will learn more about his work and the work of the group on genetic epidemiology. This has been episode 1043B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast, and we are brought to you, as usual, by Persona Nutrition. You can find out what you're missing or not in your diet as far as supplements and vitamins and minerals by taking the free online assessment at persona.com or mypersona.com or personanutrition.com. At mypersona.com, you can find out with that free assessment. You can also talk to a nutritionist for free and find out what they advise you to change. You might add the joinzoe.com as a second source after that to find out how you react to the food you've been eating, irrespective of the minerals or vitamins in that food. I wanna thank Dr. Spector and especially Corey Bridges for helping us engineer this, in addition to Caitlin White from Radio MD. You can download all of the podcasts. There are over 20 years of them now at thegreatagereboot.com, coming soon. But in the meantime and forever at radiomd.com, you can download all of these. They're a wonderful source if you want to go back and, for example, find out what Stan Hazen had to say about red meat and why he thinks in a few years we'll be able to enjoy steak as well as have it without inflammation as we modify what is our gut microbiome. Thanks very much again, and thanks for mypersona.com for supporting us. Dr. Spector, wonderful. Hope to have you back. Thanks again.